Good morning, everyone. And that line reminds me of our cruise in Antarctica, the time I spent in Antarctica. There was a woman who was from Holland, was like the general of the trip. You know, she and the captain made the decisions, but she would say, good morning, everyone, and a very good morning to you. I still like make fun of her, but so welcome to this time of counting the Omer. And I think it was Reb Moshe that said last week that it's making our lives count. There's like, how do we make our lives count? Certainly, it's like a central driving force, I think, of our practice. So we're now in the 15th day of the Omer. That's 3 weeks and one day. When the sun set last night, we entered this third week of Teferet. And in the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, to me, when I look at the Tree of Life, it looks like Chesed and Gevura are the shoulders, you know, and that the next force down is Teferet, which is seems like the heart. But certainly, it's Teferet is a balancing of opposing forces of Gevura, discipline, and Chesed, the flow of loving kindness. Gevura, boundaries, discipline, strength. So this Tree of Life lives in us, surrounds us, it is us, and it's our Torah, and it's our world. In the 13th century, Jewish mystics in Spain turned the Tree of Life into a call for awakened consciousness. And these mystics called the Torah the Tree of Life. So the stories attune us to, or awaken us to, the variegated possibilities of this complex human life in connection with the divine flow. I love the image of the tree, that we are the tree with our roots in this earth and our branches arising towards heaven, reaching to heaven. We are Adam, earthlings, and we are the sky that draws us towards itself in each breath. As modern-day mystics, we sit on our cushions with the spine firmly rooted in the earth, our heads gently reaching towards the sky. With each in-breath, the body rises skyward. And with each out-breath, the body returns to rootedness into the earth. So feel it. Try it now. Breathing in. Sky reaching for us, filling us. Expansiveness reaching for us. And then exhaling, the earth reasserts its claim on us so we don't float away. But it's a delicate and intricate system in this living being, this being alive. So this year, all our Friday morning sits throughout the weeks of counting the Omer will always coincide with Chesed, the first day of whatever the new week is, loving kindness, compassion. And here are some points about the teachings about the Tree of Life. So loving kindness without Gevura, boundaries, can become exploitative. And Gevura without Chesed, without love, boundaries without love, can become tyrannical. So we have the gift this week of Teferet, of balancing, of being our loving guide in this often elusive and illuminating path of life. So can we see this when we sit? This Gevuradic part of us wants to be more disciplined. Can't I stay conscious with more than one friggin' breath before the mind takes me into some more compelling story of the moment? And the chesed part of us wants more love. But our generation certainly knows of the train wrecks that happened when unrestrained free love met women's liberation. Boundaries collapsed, causing people to love in ways that were out of bounds and caused pain. There are many train wrecks when love forgets boundaries or its opposite, when too much gavura blocks the flow of love. So we cultivate this wisdom of Tiferet, sometimes described as beauty or glory, synthesis, balance. And it poses the question for us of how do we integrate kindness of chesed with the judgment of gavura, strength. It's a kind of, it kind of titrates when we need a few more drops of chesed in love, in expanse, for expansive flow, or a few more drops of gevura, boundaries and discipline. And this can be on a personal level, on a political level, a global level. So with this Tree of Life image from the Omer, I'm excited to share with you that this week I began an IJS, Institute for Jewish Spirituality, online course studying Zohar, the mystical Midrash on Torah that Danny Matt translated in 12 volumes. I think it took him 20 years. The teacher of the course is a well-known Zohar scholar, Dr. Malila Hellner of Hebrew University in Jerusalem. And she is my teacher's teacher. Rabbi Gold studied with her, Rabbi Shefa Gold. Malila said that this mysticism, oh, by the way, this course that I'm taking, it's 6 weeks, it's on Zoom, and it's my first gift to myself for retiring in another few weeks. So far, everything's looking like a gift. So Malila said that this mysticism of the Zohar blossomed out of a sense in the 13th century that Judaism was ailing. And the Kabbalistic code word for Judaism or Torah was the princess. And they saw that the princess was sick. Dr. Hellner says that there was alienation from Judaism, and that she says that it was coincided with Maimonides incorporating Aristotelian philosophy in Judaism, that made people feel more separate from the life flow of this path of Judaism, Judaism. The mystics sought to renew juicy Judaism, just as we are doing today and here now on our proverbial cushions, just as our ancestors have done time and time again. So here's one more of her teachings that I found online that can support us in our meditation, enrich our practice. It's called The Stories We Tell About Ourselves. Malila says she's a primitive type of person that needs stories, and that stories are more ancient than narrative. They're not part of a discussion or a conflict. Stories, quote, make us who we are. And don't we see that clearly? every attempt to sit with what is coming up. So she gives the example of the opening of the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is the title of a book on Jewish mysticism that I see arguments of it, you know, being 1,000 years old or 600 years old. And the first sentence is a list of all the Hebrew names of God, and that God created the world from Sefer or Sipor, from stories. And she says everything is a story. This reality is a story or a myth. And the opening of Sefer Yetzirah which is the book of formation, another way of translating it, says God created the world b'sifar, something like that. Couldn't see it, but that's what it sounded like. It's a story. Alila means both plot and to plot. And stories are, she says, stories are not narratives. Stories come before narrative. For example, we need a story to get us down to Egypt. Stories are more ancient, and they come before discourse and argument. They're not part of discussion. They're elemental. And reality is a story. So we see that when we sit with what's arising within us and around us. The mind has a comment for everything. We can't just let things be. We become entangled in story unless we're awake to see what's arising. And the teachers before we started this morning were talking about our self-criticism in trying to teach. We're having the audacity to try to teach, and how much we could make ourselves suffer over that, but that that also what the practice does for us is to let us see that, and when we're seeing that and we're bringing some kindness and even some laughter, that it becomes part of the awakening, right? That's what's incredible about the practice. So, so we become entangled in our stories unless we are awake to see what's arising, not to have to name or to analyze it. Conventionally, we get drawn into story without realizing even that we've been caught. But when we realize that we're in the middle of a thought storm or thought weather, we can turn. We can feel how unmoored from awareness we are. We can sleepwalk through our stories. And that's why the opposite is called awakening. So in Judaism, we often tell stories that return us to the elemental relationship with that which is breathing us into being right now. We're living in this moment of the brilliant stories of counting Omer, that teach us how many different parts of us and how the universe also functions and dysfunctions. Or maybe that's just our dysfunction. and it's based on the seven spherot of the tree of life. So back, just a few more words on Tiferet. Compassion was another word for Tiferet. And it blends and harmonizing the free outpouring of love of Chesed with the discipline of Gevura. Tiferet possesses this power by introducing this third dimension, which in one explanation I found was called truth, which is neither love nor discipline, and therefore can integrate the two. This kind of analysis continued that truth is accessed through selflessness, rising above the ego and our predispositions, enabling us to realize truth, a clear and objective picture of your needs and others' needs. The imbalance of love and discipline, and for that matter, any of those pulling these distortions that pull in opposite directions, it's a result of a subjective and hence limited perspective. By introducing truth, we can suspend personal prejudices and express our feelings, including the synthesis of Chesed and Gevura, in a healthier manner. This quality gives Tiferet its name. And it blends the different colors of love and discipline into a harmony that makes it beautiful. For Tiferet to be complete, it needs the inclusion, and this is true for every week of discipline, it needs to be connected to the seven facets: love, discipline, compassion, endurance, humility, bonding, sovereignty. So just to close, I think this must be a Jacobson exercise, but our task is to ask ourselves, is my compassion tender and loving, or does it come across as pity? Is my sympathy condescending and patronizing? Even if my intention is otherwise, do others perceive it as such? Does my compassion overflow with love and warmth is it expressed with enthusiasm or static and lifeless? So just what I make of that is that I think it was during, doing this practice, learning this practice, that I came to realize how much more comfortable it was to be in the position of giving compassion than the one getting it. and that there's a certain hubris in the that I felt in the ability to give compassion because it was someone else's problem. But when someone else was giving me compassion, it was like shining a light on what felt like a failing or an inability. And so that's something to watch. How do we express our compassion? And yeah, and how much of the balance between love and discipline can we experience as we move through this life, trying to be the healers, and often needing healing ourselves. So thank you. And let's take a moment of silence, and then I'll open the floor to whatever is flowing through you. Could be about this. It could be about something going on in your life. It could be how the practice is going. Let's just see where. Let's look inside for a few moments.